Greetings tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to say I've been blessed. Thank you to you young people for coming and singing and sharing. At the end of a week like this, it's always just very rewarding to hear everything that God has done in your hearts. For me, this time, I'm sitting here. I've not been here all week. And I'm curious, what has God done? So it was really a blessing to me to sit here and listen to you tonight. God bless you this evening. My burden tonight is that each one of you young people would be able to take what you've learned, what you've heard, and what you have yielded to the Lord here this week and apply it to your lives as you go home in very practical ways. That's my burden tonight. It's very common knowledge that we come to Bible school, we come to leadership seminars, and we hear the Word of God. Our hearts are softened. God moves in our lives. We make commitments to God. We purpose to serve Him. And we go home hot. And we begin facing real life. And with time, some of those commitments slowly ebb away. And we wonder, 6 months later, what happened to Bible school? Thus, my burden tonight, that you would be able to take home what you have learned this week, what you have heard this week, what the Lord has spoken to your heart with, and you've committed to Him. And apply it to your heart and life. And live it out in practical Christianity. That's my burden. I don't know if they put my title on your schedules or not. And you may be wondering how this all fits in what I'm saying with the title. Maybe I'll just write it on the board here. Looks like there's a good selection of markers. Hopefully I picked the good one. Hearing the Spirit of Truth. And if that doesn't quite make sense, why, allow me a little bit of time to explain. But I'd like if we could all rise to a word of prayer before going further. Dear God, we call upon you tonight in Jesus' name. To come visit us one more time here before we dismiss. God, we're here asking you in Jesus' name for the anointing of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth upon this service tonight. I'm asking you for that upon my heart. Lord, would you, in this time we have left here this evening together, bring forth the word, dear God, that you once spoken. I beg you, dear God, to guide my heart and guide my mind. You know us all here, Lord. You know exactly where we are. And tonight our prayer is and our plea, dear God, that you would minister specifically to the needs that are sitting here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just direct this message. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hearing the Spirit of Truth. You know, there's times that you probably heard a message on the names of Jesus. And there's a long list of names of Jesus. Tonight, I'd like to talk about the Holy Ghost. But as we start in, I'd like to talk about the names of the Holy Ghost a little bit. It was interesting to me. I don't know that I ever took notice, and I don't think I have an all-inclusive list here. But he's simply called the Spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Comforter. He's the Spirit of Truth. And then he's the Anointing. You find those in the New Testament. And there may be more. I don't think I did an exhaustive list here. If you could turn to the Gospel of John. So we're going to spend most of the evening. We're going to have some other verses as well. This evening, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I'd like to look at the Spirit of Truth. In talking about the Holy Spirit in the past, I've always been one that pointed out the word holy. And if people claim they have the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to do unholy things, it's not the Holy Ghost. And it's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible. But then I realized that in the Bible, it calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. It's like, well, now isn't that interesting? John chapter 14. And we're going to go down through a number of them here. John chapter 14, I'd like to start reading in verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Did you ever notice that? He's the Comforter, and even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then I'd like to go to John chapter 16. And read verse 7 and then drop down to verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you all things to come. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And just in reading those and thinking about the Spirit of Truth, I'd like to bring to bear on our minds tonight that we're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about truth. When we're talking about the Holy Ghost, we're talking about truth. And then take that one step further. My burden tonight is that we learn to hear the Spirit of truth. Now take that and apply it to what I shared. My burden is you would take what you learned this week, what you heard this week, and be able to take it home and put it in your life practically and live it out. Hearing the Spirit of truth becomes an essential part of that continuing to live in our lives every day. And I'd like to spend some time looking at what that looks like by the grace of God a little bit. But before doing that, I'd like to read the account in 1 Kings chapter 19. This is about Elijah. And just pick up another point there. 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through 13. Elijah had taken his journey after eating, and he's way back in the wilderness, and he's fearing for his life. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, Elijah, what dost thou hear? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rend the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the gate. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? In hearing the Spirit of truth, it is essential that we learn to hear that still small voice that will come to us personally, like he did to Elijah here. What doest thou here, Elijah? Let's put our name in there. That still small voice, Spirit of truth, speaking in our everyday life. What doest thou here? And put our name there. You know, unless we can hear that voice, I guarantee you one thing, Bible school is not going to last. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can hear that voice. God didn't like Elijah different from everybody else. He loves us the same as Elijah. I think it's in James where it talks about the prayer of faith of a righteous man availing much like Elijah did. But it's important for us to learn to hear that still small voice. Hearing the Spirit of truth. I'd like to look at several aspects here. First of all, I'd like to ask a question. Or point number one, I'd like to ask a question and then go through and look at a couple other things. Have I been walking in the Spirit is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Have I been walking in the Spirit? We could find verses for that, but we won't here tonight. Galatians 5, write that down, is a very good place at the end about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. Another question to go behind this, am I listening to His voice? What is He saying? And then, the sobering question, am I willing to follow and obey Him? Hearing the Spirit of truth. Have I been walking in the Spirit? Am I listening to His voice? What is He saying? What is He saying to me? What is He saying to me personally in my life? Am I willing to follow and obey Him? Then I'd like to look at what will the Holy Spirit say. You know, in some ways we start talking about the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of truth, and it can feel sort of mystical. I don't believe it has to be mystical, but it does need to be real. It does need to be real. Young people, as I think about life and not having that still small voice, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do. He's delivered me so many times in life. God has been so merciful. And I have a burden. It's an essential part of our Christian life that we learn to hear the Spirit of truth, or we will just blunder through life, going around in circles, going up and down, wondering why we can't be overcomers. But oh, to have that Spirit of truth that is there. So what does He say? There's much said about the Holy Ghost today. There's much deception about the Holy Ghost to the point that we sometimes shy away from it. But it's an essential part of our lives. And I'll just tell you this right now. If you get challenged whether you've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and some of those things, I'd like to put you to rest tonight. But we need to keep moving so I can get there. First of all, in John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Am I walking in the Spirit? What's coming out of my life? What's the Holy Ghost doing in my life? Well, one of the things He's going to do is He's going to lift up and glorify Jesus. Very, very clearly in the Scriptures here. He's going to lift up and glorify Jesus. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come. And Jesus says, the Holy Ghost, He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Then I'd like to also read again John 15, 26. But when He, the Comforter, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. This is Jesus. So the Holy Ghost, if we are walking in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of truth, He is going to be glorifying Jesus. He's going to be testifying of Jesus. This is a mark of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. So you ask the question whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. Here's one. The Holy Ghost dwelling in us is going to want to glorify Jesus. and he's going to testify of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is not self-centered. He doesn't talk about himself. And he tends to do the same thing in our hearts. He's lifting up the Lord Jesus. And before I move on this one, when you see a gospel message that is elevating the Holy Spirit, you can dismiss it. It's not scriptural. The Holy Ghost does not lift himself up. That's not the doctrine of Christ. It teaches that very clearly here in the Bible. Let's go on. Also, John 16:13-14, what he hears from the Father. So what is the Holy Ghost going to be saying? The Spirit of Truth is going to be testifying of Jesus. He's going to be magnifying Jesus. And he's going to say what he hears from the Father and from the Son. Verse 13 again, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So, he, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, he's going to teach us all truth. And he's going to tell us what he's hearing from the Father. Now, Jesus and the Father are one. Remember, when Jesus was here, he would say, I and my Father, we're one. And he would say, I do that which my Father does. Right? And he said that over and over. So the Father and the Son are one. And we see the Son doing what he sees the Father do. This is telling us that the Holy Spirit is going to say what he hears. He's not going to have his own message. His message is not going to differ from what the Father and the Son are saying. He is going to say what the Father is saying, and he's going to say what the Son is saying. He is in complete agreement with the Father and with the Son. I'd like to turn to St. John chapter 1. It said here that he is going to guide us into all truth. In St. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe this is Jesus, the Son of God, was with God and is the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. What I wanted to get here is that Jesus is the Word. We have the spoken Word and the written Word. And I believe the written Word, as we have it here, is the Word of God. And I believe, if I have it right, it tells us that the Word of God was written by holy men of God that were inspired by, someone know? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So who would interpret the Word of God to us other than the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth. And one thing that we can mark down, young people, is that the Spirit of truth is always going to agree with the Word of God. It will always agree with the Word of God. The Holy Ghost that inspired the Word of God, inspired holy men of God to write the Word of God, is not going to excuse sin that the Bible calls sin. He's not going to do that. He inspired these holy men of God to write that down. Here's God's heart. And He's not going to make excuses for sin. He's not going to explain away Bible doctrine. And I don't have time to expound on all those different things here tonight. But He's not going to do that. And as we go home to apply our hearts and lives to what we heard this week, it is essential that we learn to hear the Spirit of truth. Now, I'd like to, He will teach truth, which I've already been talking about, and I'd like to just very quickly go through this next section. John 14:26, we all read about Him teaching us truth, but I'd also like to look at, John 16. I'd like to look at a couple more verses here. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And the question was, have I been walking in the Spirit? John 16:7 again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This word, reproof, means to confute or admonish. In our day, we use the word conviction. What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Spirit of truth say? He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So He's going to reprove the world of sin. And as we think about this still small voice and hearing the Spirit of truth, He should be doing things like pointing out sin in our life. He should be doing that in our life. Pointing out sin. In fact, if we're walking in the Spirit, He will point out temptation before we sin in our lives. He will be there to give us warning, to sidestep and deliver us from being tempted. We never know what's happening, but I've wondered many times, what all have I been saved from? By looking at something, you heard about Joseph this week. How long did he consider whether he should yield into temptation? It seems like he instantaneously wiggled out of his coat and ran. How could I do such a thing? and sin against my God. Amen. Amen. That was in the Old Testament. What an example. But the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, should be speaking in our lives about sin. He should be speaking in our lives about righteousness. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's the work of the Spirit of truth. If we're going to take what we have heard this week and apply it to our lives and be able to continue to walk in it, then the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, needs to be speaking about righteousness in our lives. And he should be saying things like, if you do that, will that please God? If you do that, will that glorify your Father which is in heaven? If you do that, will it make any questions about purity and holiness and godliness? If you do that, is it what's it going to do to the testimony of Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God that died on the cross? He should be talking about righteousness. The Bible says you should live this way. And young people, if we start living by the whys and the do I have to's, you're not going to make it hearing the voice of the Spirit of truth. You're not going to make it. That's not how you walk with God in the fear of God and stay sensitive to that still small voice. I'm so blessed with some of your testimonies here tonight. A full surrender. This is what it means. Full surrender. Giving it all to the Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to walk in the obedience of the direction of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. And then, oh, what a blessed place of peace and rest when we walk there and live there. So he should be talking about sin. He should be talking about righteousness and obeying God, obeying the Bible, following Bible principles. He should be talking in our hearts about judgment. There's coming a judgment day. When you look at this definition, it has the word tribunal in it. And I don't know if you're familiar with the word tribunal or not, but that's like a military court in our country or in the world. When someone is in a tribunal, it's like a way high court. And you're seriously on the floor if you're called in for a tribunal. Well, this word judgment in the definition has tribunal. There is coming a court one day. There's coming a great white judgment day. It's the highest there's ever been. And we're all coming there. We're all coming there. We're not going to get to sing in the chorus together. We'll all personally give account. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, should be speaking about that judgment day in our lives. He should be speaking about that judgment day. It should cause the fear of God in our hearts and in our lives. I'd like to think just a little bit tonight about this week. Another question. What has the Spirit of truth been speaking to me this week? What has the Spirit of truth been speaking to me this week? I expect most of you young people came here with an open heart, expecting to learn, expecting to hear truth, expecting to find areas of need in your heart and in your life. That's a blessed place to be. Expecting the Spirit of God to speak to a heart. Maybe it could be this simple. Go home that way. With that open heart that you brought to Bible school. Looking and expecting to learn. Expecting to hear truth. Expecting to find areas of need. And expecting the Spirit of God to speak to my heart. Go home that way. That's the right heart to have. In being able to hear the still small voice. We get really busy in life. And how do you hear a still small voice when we're busy and loud going about? We won't hear it. We're able to steel our heart before God. Open heart. Lord, talk to me. Lord, I want to hear from you. So this week, as he came with that open heart, let's ask the questions again. Am I listening to his voice? What is he saying to me? And am I willing to follow and obey him? You know, at Bible school, we hear the Word of God. We come with an open heart. We hear the Word of God. And we hear the Word of God. And we hear the Word of God. We get together with others and we talk about our needs and we pray. We hear the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We hear some more of the Word of God. And we get together again and we talk about our needs and we pray. You do that all week long. And all of a sudden, we can hear the voice of the Spirit of God, right? It gets really plain. It gets really simple. All of a sudden, our spiritual eyes are open. Oh, wow. I didn't see that before. I understand. Let's go home that way. We won't have the preaching. And maybe praying together with others as much. But let's go home that way. Many of you have been edified and refreshed this week. Some have repented and gotten right with God. And some have gotten born again. Praise God. What a blessing. I do have a burden on my heart tonight. That there's likely some here that have heard the Spirit of Truth speaking, but have not yet yielded. So the question is God putting his finger on an area in your life? You know, God knows the secrets of our hearts. God sees what we do in private. He knows everything. We think nobody sees. It's all right. But there is an all-seeing God that has sent forth his Spirit into all the earth. He knows all about it. He knows all about it. He knows the very insides of our hearts. He knows how we're doing with our authorities. Or what about the cell phones? I have no idea where you're at or in a group this size. Where are we at with the cell phones? What are they doing in our lives? What about moral purity? Moral purity. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, he talks to us about those things. And he knows our hearts. He knows our privacy. What about pride? Pride, lifting ourselves up. Lying. Lying about who I am. Putting up a nice front for everybody else to see. But you know, the Spirit of Truth, he sees it all, doesn't he? Being lukewarm I expect we know what Revelation says that God will do with the lukewarm. And I think this is an area for us to be very cautious about. But God is going to spew the lukewarm out of His mouth. So in going home, the question is, will we commit to listening to and obeying the Spirit of truth? It is the only way that Bible school will endure for us. It is the only way. It is the only way. Can we commit ourselves to listening to His voice, to hearing what He's saying and obeying Him? Then I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 11, and I'd like you to turn here. This is a really important scripture. Luke chapter 11. And there's also one in Matthew, but I chose Luke tonight. Luke chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 9. And here He tells us that He gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? A very clear, simple truth about the Holy Spirit. So, in very plain English, what do I have to do to receive the Holy Spirit? Ask my Heavenly Father, right? It's really, really plain and simple. But let's go back and look at some of the verses before. You know, if it's as simple as just, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit, and now I have the Holy Spirit. Is it really like that? And I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. Let's go back and look at the context here. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now that's a pretty active verse. I have, in past years, preached on these verses as prayer and seeking after God. But what I'm seeing here is, this is specifically addressing asking for the Holy Spirit. I think it applies to prayer. But if you want the Holy Spirit, ask God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Then He says, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And you get the picture of someone that is pressing in. Someone that is pressing in. Someone that is in the pursuit of God. The pursuit of God. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Seeking after God for the Holy Spirit in my life. Knocking. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I did not ask God once for the Holy Spirit tonight. I begged Him over and over and over. God,
I need your Spirit in my heart tonight. I need an anointing tonight. I need heaven to open up tonight. It's essential. Young people, it's essential. And we need to seek after God and ask Him and seek and knock. We want the Holy Ghost, and I promise you, you'll get it. You'll get it. You pursue God that way and you'll have it. What I had yesterday won't do anything for me today. What I had this morning probably won't help me much tonight. It does influence us. What I'm trying to say is we need to stay current. We need to stay current with God. We need to be in continual pursuit of God. If I pursued God last year, and I heard from God last year, and then I sat down and stayed there, it is not going to get me where I need to go. I need to be in a continual pursuit of God. Ask, seek, knock. Let's go on to verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. These are present continuous verbs. These are present continuous verbs. And what it means is, he that asks and asks and asks and asks and asks, receives, 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 and receives. He that seeks and seeks and seeks and seeks, finds and finds and finds and finds. To him that knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks, it will be open, 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 open. What a blessed way to walk with the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God, in our pursuit of God, our pursuit after God. Young people, if we live a life like this, I'll guarantee you one thing. Bible school will continue to live in your heart and in your life. And it will guide your life. It will cause you to prosper in the Lord. It will cause you to shine like a light. And God is going to do things in your life. His kingdom's going to get built. You set yourself a mark with a vision, and you'll go there. You'll go there. People don't walk with God by accident. People don't walk with God by accident. Lukewarm Christians pretty much accomplish nothing for God except ruin His testimony. Pursue God. Pursue God. Ask, seek, knock, and we receive, we find, and we find things open up to us. Praying, reading, singing, and sharing the Word of God. Can we make this commitment going home? I'd like to also look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we seek God this way, if we seek God this way, He will be dwelling within us. Oh, I think God would be much pleased with a people that will ask and seek and knock for the Holy Ghost and pursue Him that way versus some high emotion that goes back down and disappears. Oh, for a real, sincere walk with the Lord. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Now notice something here, what it's saying about the world and the Holy Ghost. It tells us here that the world does not know the Holy Ghost. The world does not know the Holy Ghost. Does not know the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive,
because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Then he says, but you know him. You know him. Why do we know him? How do we know him? Because for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. We ask, we seek, we knock, we pursue God. And guess what happens? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, comes and dwells right in us. And that still, small voice is alive and real in our hearts. It's alive and real in our hearts. He becomes the inner guide to our heart. He becomes the inner guide to our life and even our conscience. He will guide us and reveal to us how to apply the Word of God to our lives in practical ways. He'll lead us and guide us daily. He'll guide us hourly and by the minute. And by the minute. We're to walk in the Spirit. Be listening for that voice. He'll warn us of sin and of temptation. The question is whether I'm listening. Am I listening? Am I hearing what he's saying? He'll warn us of sin. He'll convict us of sin if we fail. Or convict us when we don't obey him in righteousness. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 28. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Then he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So we're seeking God. We're asking for the Holy Spirit. We're seeking God and knocking. And he's giving. We're receiving, finding. And the truth is opening up to us. The Spirit of God is dwelling within us. And then we do something that grieves the Spirit of God. Now what? Now what? We need to do like Proverbs says, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And in rising up again, we need to confess our failure to God, call it sin, call it for what it is. Don't go easy on yourself. Lord, I slipped a little. No, Lord, I'm sorry. I grieve the Holy Spirit. I can tell in my inner being that I grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please restore to me the peace in my heart. And I don't know if it's this way for everyone, but for me, many times, I've needed to go back and ask God for His Spirit. Seek God for His Spirit. Knock and pursue after God, and that all comes back again. The mistake we make is we grieve the Spirit of God and shrug it off. and go on. And we don't seek God again like we should. So instead of 100%, we're at 75. Then we do it again. The next time we're at 50. We do it again. We're down to 25. You see what's happening to us? It's essential that we seek. We ask, we seek, and we knock, and we pursue God so God can restore His Spirit within us. In Proverbs, I believe it is, that it talks about us being leaky vessels. And it feels like sometimes there's a drain in the bottom. And when we disobey God and grieve the Spirit of God, the plug gets pulled and it runs out. Well, you put the plug back in and fill it up. We want to put the plug back in and expect it to be full. No, we need to fill it up. Because our hearts are leaky vessels. And we need to continue to pursue God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Take verse 29 home with you, young people. I remember being in my youth and making that one of the favorite verses for me to guide my life. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." When we get too involved in jesting and flippantness and lightheartedness, the plug gets pulled and the Spirit of God drains out of our hearts. I don't think we have to be a dry bone. But if we are sensitive to what affects the Spirit of God in our hearts, we will learn. That's how I learned. Ooh, what I just said there went, phew. That must have grieved the Spirit of God, what I just did. Lord, help me not to do that anymore. Put that pluck back in. Let's go pursue God. Fill that thing back up so I can hear what the still small voice is saying in my heart and in my life. It's essential to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I don't think I'll go back and read again in Kings, but in conclusion, I have these verses here again. And I thought it described what life often looks like for us. First of all, the Lord called Elijah. And I pray He will do this in all of our lives. What dost thou here, Elijah? Paul, what are you doing here right now? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Or doing what you're doing? The Lord asked him to come out on the mount. And as we go through life, we will find some strong winds at times. These winds rend the mountains. In those times, it's essential that we can hear the Spirit of truth, the still small voice. It may feel like everything around us is flying and breaking apart. Or the earthquake. Everything is shaking. Is there a solid place to be anymore? At those times, we need to be able to hear the still small voice, the Spirit of truth, and find security in His voice to know where to go. And when there's fiery trials, some of them get really hard. When there's fiery trials, we didn't know we can fall on our face before our God and have nothing else to hold on to. I have Him.
We need to be able to know that. We must stay connected with Him and be listening, asking, seeking, and knocking to find Him to be real in our lives on an ongoing basis. I'd like to paint a picture in our minds here tonight as an illustration. I'm not good at drawing, much less painting. Maybe God will help me with an illustration that we can see in our minds. There, one song you sang tonight was one we used to sing when I was young. Master, the tempest is raging. I'd like us to see in our minds two little children out in the woods, and they're lost. It's getting stark. Getting dark, they're not sure which way to turn. There's a storm blowing in. The trees are beginning to sway. There's a few leaves beginning to fly. They find a rock with a hole big enough to get in, far enough for shelter. They crawl in there, huddled together. As it begins to rain, and huddled together, they drift off to sleep. Now, if we could add to that picture an unseen angel that's watching over them as they rest peacefully, that can be us. In our lives, if we will pursue God, let His Spirit guide our lives. In the midst of danger, in the presence of the jaw of a trap by the adversary, resting peacefully under His care. All is well. All is well. I have a little account here. Something needed inside. I heard of a poor, half-witted fellow whose companion, working beside him, dropped dead. He was found trying to hold up the dead man, trying to make him stand and sit upright. Finding his effort without avail, he was saying to himself, "He needs something inside him. I suspect that is the reason we live in a poor dying rate. We need a living spirit within to control and uphold us." And with these two, we see a contrast. One that is yielded, surrendered, at rest, being watched over by the Spirit of God, and the other that is empty inside. There's no life. No matter how hard we try to prop it up, there's just no life. I suspect we need something inside. So tonight, I'd like to give an invitation here yet. But before we do that, is the Spirit of Truth speaking in our hearts? Is He convicting us of a need that we have? Or do we have peace and rest in our hearts? Is there a need to confess that sin, whatever it may be? Admit my needs and failures. Yield my heart. Break my heart. Humble my heart. What is it that God wants you to surrender? Are we here?
with the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts about a need rather than resting. And tonight, I assure you, if we come asking, He's not going to give us a scorpion. He's not going to give us a serpent. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit if we come asking. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have peace. We can have rest in our hearts. In the midst of the storms of life, we can know that our life is in His hands. And life has uncertainties. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we come tonight in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Would you come with that still small voice, your voice, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, speak to us tonight. The quietness of our hearts. Lord, you know every one of us completely on the inside. And we pray, bring each one of us to a place of freedom here tonight completely. Especially pray for these dear young people. Your blessing would be upon their lives. If they sat here this week, many of them have responded to your voice. But maybe some sit here and they're still battling. They're still travailing. They're still struggling against whether they're going to yield or not. Would you specifically touch each one of those hearts? Draw us, Lord. Love us again. Lead us to repentance, Lord. We pray for your Spirit to have free course here tonight. We just commit it to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.